Defense Secretary Ashton Carter proposes a 401k-type retirement program for uniformed military personnel. USA Today reports the goal is that everyone that leaves the military would take away a retirement fund even if they don't stay in 20 years. Todd Harrison is Senior Fellow for Defense Budget Studies at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, and he's comparing what we know about this idea to some of the work he's done on compensation and the work the Military Compensation Commission did. Todd, it's great to talk to you. What do we know so far about what Secretary Carter will propose and what it might look like for somebody who doesn't stay in the full 20?
Well, you know, it sounds awfully familiar. It sounds a lot like what the Military Compensation Commission reported out at the end of January. And they had a recommendation in there to change the retirement plan to reduce the defined benefit from the 20-year pension system and create a new benefit that is a 401k-like plan where the government would match contributions from a service member. So service members would get extra retirement savings from the government in addition to what they set aside themselves. And if they leave with less than 20 years of service, they could actually take that 401k-like plan with them.
A member of the Compensation Commission told me the whole model for that was the Thrift Savings Plan. So it will be interesting to see if what Secretary Carter's proposing is just an extension or modification or something like that of the existing TSP, or whether this will be something new that's administered solely for uniformed personnel at the Defense Department.
Well, presumably it would be the Thrift Savings Plan. That's what the Compensation Commission recommended, as you said. So presumably that's what Secretary Carter will be talking about as well. I think he's been referring to it as a 401k-like plan, and that's what the Thrift Savings Plan really is. I don't see any reason for DOD to create some sort of new retirement savings plan when the TSP would work perfectly fine. The key difference, though, is the Thrift Savings Plan today, service members can put money into it, but they don't get any matching from the military. The change here is that the military would start putting in money directly to service members' retirement savings account in addition to what service members contribute on their own.
And one possibility that I have heard about as well that could be an element of this is that it's possible that men and women in uniform would be required to contribute part of their salary. They'd be auto-enrolled with a certain percentage going in. And maybe that's a wrinkle that that uniformed personnel are not used to, that you don't get to pick. You are going to be in this 401k-type plan whether you like it or not.
Well, there are interesting studies out there in the private sector showing that auto-enrollment in retirement savings plans, that means that when you start working at an employer, that they automatically will start taking out a certain percentage from your pay to put in a retirement savings account, greatly improves the participation rate so that people, you know, will start saving on their own. If you leave it to employees to have to take an action themselves to start the savings, they're much less likely to do it. But in all these cases, and I think this is true for what Secretary Carter is proposing, it certainly is true for what the Compensation Commission proposed, is even though you would be automatically enrolled at a certain contribution rate, if you take the action to fill out the paperwork and turn it in, you can turn that off if you want to. So you could stop it at any time. But if you do nothing, it's going to happen automatically, and whether you realize it or not, you will actually be saving for your retirement.
Todd Harrison of the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments has done some very interesting and insightful work on compensation, and you can find all of that linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Todd, you're also writing in Forbes about one area where the Department of Defense should cut competition, and that is in an area called competitive prototyping. Now, I recall a couple of years ago, and I don't remember which aircraft it was, but absolutely being deluged with advertising from one of the aerospace companies about don't kill the second engine for some program. I don't remember what it was.
F-35.
Okay. I didn't remember if it was that one for sure or not. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about here?
Exactly. And I should preface this and say I'm not against competitive prototyping or competition in general. It's just that we shouldn't mandate it across the board. This really has to be a program-by-program decision because, as counterintuitive as it may seem, for some types of acquisitions, it just doesn't make sense, and it will actually end up costing the government more money. Now, in the case of the F-35 engine, you know, right now we have one engine provider. Pratt & Whitney is providing an engine for that aircraft, and the idea was let's have a second engine built by, I think it was General Electric, was going to build the second engine, and DoD actually started a program. The problem in competitive prototyping like that is when DoD buys something that is unique to DoD, it is only a defense article, like an F-35 engine, DoD has to pay those companies basically the full development cost to develop that new system for DoD. And then DoD is essentially the only customer for that. Even in the case of the F-35, we are going to sell those aircraft abroad, but that still has to get government approval. So you effectively only have one buyer for that system. And so what you end up with is cases where you cannot make up the redundant development cost of having a second prototype, a competing engine, even though you will have competition in the future. Because when you compete it in the future, if you want to keep two companies in the business, you can't shut one of them out all the way. You have to keep both production lines hot. That means that you're splitting the order between the two companies so you don't get as far down the learning curve. Depending on the specific acquisition, depending on how much the development costs are, how many articles you're going to end up buying in the long run, you can actually end up with a situation where you never recoup the savings, no matter how fierce the competition may be. And so I think that, you know, this actually comes out, I was writing in response to the acquisition reform proposal put out last week by Representatives Thornberry and Smith in the House Armed Services Committee. They're talking about rescinding that competitive prototyping requirement. I think that is a great idea, that we shouldn't require DoD to do that, because I think we're pushing ourselves into competitive prototyping in situations where it just doesn't make sense, and we're actually just wasting money in the process.
We just have a minute or so left, Todd. Was there anything else in Congressman Thornberry and Smith's effort that you either like or that you're not as fond of?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good first step. I would say the one thing I'm not so fond about is it's not an overhaul of the acquisition system. And I think if we really want to see change, it's got to be a systemic overhaul, a rewrite from the bottom up of our entire acquisition system. I sympathize with them that that's not something you can do quickly in one legislative year. But that really is the long-term solution, is we've got to rewrite the whole acquisition system. We can't just keep applying Band-Aids, and in some cases, like with competitive prototyping, removing a Band-Aid that had been previously applied.
Do you think that will still be the case, though, even after we see, say, better buying power, 3.0, in a couple of weeks?
Absolutely. I think better buying power has been, you know, a similar theme. It's been incremental changes to the existing system. Fundamentally, I think we need to just zero baseline the system and start over and build a new one from scratch.